Plantation society, so often romanticized when we look at Hawaii's past, was governed by strict class distinctions, and it's that rigidly stratified society in 1920s Hawaii Island that forms the background of the new movie Running for Grace. David Cunningham, who grew up on Hawaii Island, is the director. It's a story of young star-crossed lovers, and David is on the phone from Kona. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I just looked at some previews for your movie, and one of the things that will stand out to audiences about it is the spectacularly beautiful locales you've chosen.
Yeah, we have so much to celebrate visually in Hawaii, and it was a thrill to be able to make a movie in my backyard with some incredible locations, many of which is in the area that your quiz was just talking about, up Kalakekula side, mm-hmm. in the Kona Coffee Belt. So that was one of our main locations.
And is that where you grew up?
I grew up closer to town. I lived up there for a little while, but was more down in closer to Kona side. But I went to high school up there, Kona Waena High School, right there in the Coffee Belt. And we have about four generations on island, and this is home.
Well, your movie goes right at the whole idea of the class distinctions in society back then. What made that important to you?
Well, when we were doing some research in the 20s, Hawaii was highly segregated. You know, today we're the melting pot, but as you mentioned earlier, people forget what it was like before, where the various ethnicities were intentionally separated for controlling purposes so that they wouldn't unionize and so on. Mm-hmm. And there was a federal law that included the territory of Hawaii, which in our film takes place in 1920s, in which it was actually illegal to adopt children of mixed ethnicity. And they talked about it as being for racial integrity. And that is mind-blowing to us in Hawaii today, mm-hmm. with so much mix. And that was fascinating to me. And we basically wrote this script set in that world about an orphan boy who's Hapa, half Japanese, half Haole, mm-hmm. and he's rejected by both communities. And a plantation doctor, a new doctor who answers an ad, who's clueless about Hawaii, played by Matt Dillon, comes to the plantation and takes the boy under his wing and kind of becomes a de facto father figure. And the boy helps run medicine up the mountains to the plantation pickers. And then a forbidden romance evolves and so on.
Well, it's very clear when you see the boy and the girl in the movie that there's quite a natural, you know, they're having nature's reaction to one another that would happen no matter who or what part of society either came from, that's, you know, it's kind of their humanity drives them toward each other.
But, exactly.
But society doesn't like it very much, does it?
No, we have... she's the daughter of the plantation owner, and he is one of the major leaders in the community and controls a lot of the economy. And this could undermine their position in many ways. I won't give too much of the film, but there's a competition when a doctor comes to town, played by Jim Caviezel, who has a newfangled contraption called a Ford Model T, and he gets to drive to his patients. Well, as Matt Dillon's character, they have to hump up and walk everywhere because they're serving the immigrant pickers, mm-hmm. and Caviezel's character is serving the higher pedigree, and so there's a fun kind of competition, and at the same time, I think a whole aspect of Hawaii's immigration story that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of.
It's immigration stories are taking on a new relevance these days, aren't they, David?
Yes, absolutely.
And as you said, you know, Hawaii is now seen as a melting pot. Do you think people will be, which it may or may not be, right? But do you think people will be surprised by the depiction of this rigidly stratified society?
I think so. I think, you know, our memories are short, and I think it's important to revisit. And the Japanese immigrant forms such a major part of who Hawaii is today. We, you know, some of the banks here on the Big Island were founded by the Japanese coffee farmers because no one would loan them money.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pooled their own funds together and were able to start expanding. And the whole coffee industry was one of the ways to be an entrepreneur during the plantation era, when people would want to get out of the sugarcane industry, which was so physically demanding and humiliating in many ways. A Japanese farmer could buy 5 acres and start their own place and provide for their family. So coffee has a very different past than some of the other agricultural industries at the time.
In a way, it was an avenue that was open to say, Japanese farmers that wouldn't have been open in sugar or pineapple?
Yeah, exactly, because you didn't need as big of a plot. It didn't have to be all soil and dirt. Coffee grows in rock or thin soil,
mm-hmm.
And it has to be at a certain elevation, but a lot of that was cheap land at the time. And so our story takes place in the middle of that transition between the plantation owners and the immigrants being able to start their own way of life, not just be controlled by others.
Do you think it's important, David, to do what you've done in your movie, which is to maybe add heft to the movie by setting a boy-girl romance in amid a situation that's kind of social and political?
Yes, you know, romance is a universal, connection to the audience, and we wanted this to be a entertaining movie. Not only is it educational, but we wanted it to be inspirational. And this is a movie that we intentionally made for the whole family. You know, my original intention was inspired by my experience as a father with 3 kids, and my wife wrestling over the remote every night, going, who's going to watch what they want to watch? And I thought, man, would it be great if there was a show that we all wanted to see,
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my original intents in setting out on this movie.
There aren't that many shows like that being made anymore. And what do you think's the reason for that?
Well, we're in a major upheaval and change in the entertainment industry. I've been doing this a while. This is my 8th movie to make, and filmed in 50 countries and docs and all kinds of stuff. And with the evolution of places like Netflix and Amazon streaming, it's an exciting time because there's more content needed than ever. And if you're in the content creation business, that's great. But it's upended a lot of the models that have worked in the past. And right now, the independent film model is getting hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult for the indie filmmakers to get their movies out there, and especially now that Netflix has switched over from acquiring movies to making their own. And we are very lucky that we were able to get a global release with this movie and get in theaters. It's really tough out there. So that's really playing a lot. And then, companies like Disney, who will soon have about a 40% market share after they acquire Fox, are really sucking up a lot of that bandwidth as well. And basically with the big, huge budget movies.
Let's hope there's room for the indies to survive. David, thanks very much for talking with us.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. And please tell everybody, let's hit the movies this Friday.
Sounds good. They're
playing at the
Dole
Cannery.
David L. Cunningham is the director of the new movie Running for Grace. It opens July 20th on Oahu at Dole Cannery and across the state.